When we think about opera, we imagine stories of mythical gods or tragic love stories. They're also about topics that challenge us. This is one of them. Achna Refugiati, or We Refugees, is the first of its kind in Malta. With the current migration crisis as its backdrop, it follows a family's physical and emotional journey fleeing war in search of safety in Europe. Right from the opening scene, audiences are thrust into their story.
In the first 5 minutes of the opera, we have four beheadings of another family. And this father realizes if they stay there, they're going to end up the same. Their heads are going to end up in poles. And they've got to leave. We see two executions in the first 5 minutes and four beheadings. How's that for an overture? And they leave. And they have to go through hell in order to go towards Europe. We cannot escape from the fact it is a major problem.
That's the opera's artistic director, Mario Philip Azzopardi. After a long career in TV and film, Azzopardi wanted to write an opera, one that exploits its visual and musical impact, but also tell a story relevant to our modern times, refugees and migration. It's a problem, one he wants Europeans to stop running from and work towards solving.
We're going to do something that talks to us. Talks to us as a society. Use the opera not only as an artistic medium, but as a medium that helps us understand ourselves. Like, for example, you know, Barbiere di Siviglia. You have a story where a girl is afraid of telling her father that she has a boyfriend. How does that relate to today's society? Who cares? It's something to be given back to the people, and if we're going to give it back to the people, we're going to talk about something that they know about.
The opera, performed all in Maltese, brings together a cast of well-known local and international talent, this time singing without a live orchestra. Miriam Gauci is one of them. She plays Shari, wife to Alea, and mother to her three children, Hamid, Seya, and Darit. At first, she was hesitant about the role, but she says that Malta's own migration history carries strong parallels with the current situation.
What I thought about in myself was that even if you look at the Maltese history, when after the war, thousands of Maltese, they had to leave the island because they had to start life elsewhere. So it's not real refugees, but you know, it's immigrants, but still one has to deal with another lifestyle, having to do to, it's not your country where you, all these situations, this situation of this opera, all these things, they belong to the to real life. So it can be what's happening now elsewhere in the world. So it's something that one should think about. I mean, I have to speak for myself as Catholics, you know, and I don't want to put any religion in this, but I mean, my belief is that we should help anyone, everyone. You know, it has to be that way.
What are our volunteers? First group, put your hands up, first group.
Just outside of Valletta is Il Fossos, Malta's old granary stores and the temporary home to the open-air opera. It's a production that's taken 3 years to make, from the writing of the story to the mammoth task of recording and arranging the music. On the stage are stood eight obelisk structures, all painted a cold grey. They're an imposing plot device, changing scenes and showing the closure and breaking down of physical and abstract borders.
You guys, before they bow, need to be up here.
Ever since the first deaths of migrants crossing the Mediterranean reached public attention, Malta has been directly involved. And with recent political changes in Italy and Europe, the island nation has become a ground zero for debating who should accept rescued migrants. For the cast, performing has helped them get closer to a crisis they'd only seen on TV.
Thank you. statistics, but when you are on your sofa watching TV, sometimes you wonder really how they feel. You are not able to have empathy. I have to confess that. But with this opera, I had the opportunity, because Mario Zopardi, he wrote, in my opinion, such a good libretto, where you can smell the situation. You know, you are on the boat, and you hear the little Darit, my little daughter, saying, I'm scared. I like to see when it's blue, but I don't like it when it's black, because it's in the night and it's dark, and she gets afraid. You know, you kind of have the time to feel. It's an opportunity to have empathy with that, which I think it's also a good thing for the audience and for myself.
That's Spanish countertenor José Hernández Pastor. Playing the husband and father, Alea carries the weight and shift of the opera's emotions on his shoulders. From fear and guilt to depression, Alea tries to find a glimmer of hope to live for his surviving children.
There's a moment we are on the beach still, being attended by the volunteers. The locals are shouting like, barra, barra, like, go out, go out. And I'm asking for my wife and my daughter, because I still didn't find them. And I don't know if they are alive or not. So there are people desperate because they don't know if their family is alive or not. And they are hearing, get out.
The opera has been generating attention. And ever since the production was announced back in July, social media in Malta has ignited with comments both praising and condemning it. For Joseph Zamit, who plays Hamid, critical comments show that the opera is doing its job to open up the debate in Malta.
When I read those comments, I laughed, to be honest, because their words hold no value. They were saying that this opera is ridiculous and horrible without ever hearing or knowing what the story is about to begin with. So that just are comments to be ignored. But I guess on the bright side, some attention is being garnered for the production. Not to say that there's no such thing as bad press, but it's helping proving the point, so to speak, for this opera to being put up as well.
Refugiati is indeed a new type of opera, and it wants to make the audience think and talk about a modern issue using opera to deliver its message. Its story is timeless. Here's Nico Darmanin.
This story, it is different. It's very relevant to nowadays story, but it is in essence a story about love, tragedy, death, fight for freedom, which actually is the most, I think, in my opinion, important fundamental human right. So yeah, the story is very relevant for today. So basically, we're giving an entertaining story for the public, but within something that they can relate in nowadays story, rather than something that has happened 300 years ago.
The wait is finally over. The house lights illuminate Il Fossos as people enter and take their seats. Backstage, the final checks are being made, the cast mic'd up, and the obelisk movers in position. Nervous excitement rests amongst those backstage as the crew call their final commands before curtain up. Standing off stage, I recall José's feelings ahead of tonight.
It's like you are asking me, how much will they listen? It's how able are we, how prepared are we to have empathy? Even if we know statistically that the solution is not just taking them. That's not the whole solution. But you can't leave them on the sea, you know? of course, this will be like a bell, you know, like a pong, and it's like everything. Maybe on the first bell they wake up, or we wake up, or maybe you need 20 bells, I don't know, but this is a good one, this is a good bell.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to hit like, comment, and subscribe for more podcasts from us. You can also follow us on our social media. Check out our latest updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Audioboom. Or you can donate to help us help Rohingya refugees. From all of us here at MOAS, goodbye.